You know, in the room we're preparing for the conference, there was something that stuck out for each one of us. It is a matter of, have we really have the different, have we really become the church?
Yeah.
Not just by our words, but by our living, our expression. On their neighbors or their co-workers, on their friends, on their family members. They know that we are the church. Do I need to always introduce to them, I'm Brother Osi, I'm a Christian. You know, I was watching a documentary in the BBC about AI, and this broadcaster asks the AI of herself, and then he goes, who am I? And the AI responded and started telling her who she was. She said, but that is my CV. I'm talking about who I am. So, okay, the AI said, okay, adjust it, update me, you know. It was very interesting, but something else happened. He said, the news that I carry is not just the news. It's also about being there and feel what the people feel. And the AI blinked and said, I cannot feel.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So to continue in the fellowship, to take in the third message, and it goes, learning Christ. And being disciplined by our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like it's in Christianity where when a child is born, he doesn't tend to learn. He just wants to be something right from birth. But in every other thing, people learn. People take time to learn. Right? I know James is learning to be an engineer, right? Why don't you just say I'm an engineer? But you have subjected yourself to the training to become an engineer. So when we become Christians, how come we don't want to learn Christ?
Yeah.
We don't think. And so this thing that we say, the old man, is still important. So at the end, we are struggling, even though the old man and the new man, right? Who has ever seen the old man? Have you seen the new man before? Maybe Christian. I don't know. Does the new man, does this thing still catch? Sorry, have you seen the new man before? How come we not put him there? It is not our nature. So we need to learn. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. Read. But you have not so learned right. If indeed you have heard me and have been taught by me, and the truth is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But you are put off because concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts.
Amen.
And then renew with the spirit of your mind. Then you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. The old man doesn't know righteousness. He doesn't know holiness. But sometimes we are using the old man to build the church. And that's why we have a lot of problems. Like the brothers have made us here. In Hebrews again, we read 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5-11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as his son. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Lord, he is courage,
and you are rebuked by him.
For whom
the Lord does, he chastens
with scorpions every son whom he receives. If you
endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons.
For what son is there whom the father
does not chasten?
But if you are without chastening,
of which all have become partakers,
then you are illegitimate and not sons.
For you know, we have had human fathers
who created us,
and we gave them respect,
so that we not much more
will be in subjection
to the Father of spirits and live. For they indeed for a few days visited us, I say this to them,
but ye for our prophets,
that we may be partakers of his holiness.
Now the chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless.
Afterward,
yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Amen.
So we need to learn Christ.
Yeah.
Matthew 11:38, when he started, he said, come, our youthful labor, and I have the waving, right? Learn of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Learn of me. For I am lowly. In Matthew chapter 5, when he called his disciples to himself to tell them about the kingdom, you know the first line he said? Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the basis for us to learn Christ. We have to be humble. We have to pray that the Lord will take away pride so that we can learn. We need to learn Christ. Why? It is not in my nature. Everything I do from my nature, believe me, is from the old man. That will not build the church. Depending on my background, on my training, it can go some distance. But trust me, it will take to the end. While going through this, it dawned on me about what we call to know Christ, knowledge. I found out that there are maybe several kinds of knowledge, but basically two.
Right.
One of them in the Greek translation is oida. This is intellectual. It's of the brain. This is superficial. And I'll give you an example. An architect is given the drawing of this building. He will be somewhere in Fountain Valley and he's going to tell me where the toilet is because he can read the drawing. That's intellectual. That's perceptive. That's the order. So many times we have, this is the knowledge of God we have. It's book knowledge. But a new brother, like Jay, walked in here for the first time yesterday, right? When you're outside there, can you tell where the washroom is? This is it's based on perception where you are, right? But there's another kind of knowledge. Enoch, your son, right? How would you see? Has he?
31.
Oh, yeah. Has he finished kindergarten? High school, college?
Nothing.
But does he know your voice?
Yes.
That's the intimate. Yeah. Until we know God at this level, time is up here. If I carry him up now, he's going to go away from me. That's why Jesus said, my sheep, they are my voice. This kind of knowledge doesn't come from waiting. It comes from spending time with God. I give you an example. Moses was on the mountain with God for 40 days. He wasn't in university. He was just with God. When he came out, the Bible records that even his skin was glowing. This is the knowledge we need to know about God.
Amen.
You have this knowledge, you won't be tossed to and fro. But you have not so named Christ.
Yeah.
What Christ did you know? The one they taught you? We need an experience. We need a life knowledge. We need to experience. Let's not discipline ourselves. May the Lord make us humble. Go to the Father, Lord. How much we know you.
Amen.
You know why you have to pray this prayer? Because nobody here was born with it. It's not in our nature. You need to tell the Father. Who is this Christ? How much we know you. Some brothers, look at how they go on. But I'm struggling. When you talk about discipline, it's a huge thing. I don't have it. We'll give you discipline. I'll read in Luke chapter 6, 39 to 42. If you find it, you can read, because we have to run it. Luke 6, 39 to 42. It says, yeah, 39 to 42, yeah?
He spoke the parable to them.
And the blind lead the blind.
Yeah?
Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the light in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye.
He talks about the student who is perfectly trained. Who is training you? Is it the Holy Spirit? If it's the Holy Spirit, you will be holy. Now the answer, you know yourself, right? When you still have issues with the saints, like the brother told us yesterday, it's a demonstration of the flesh. Flesh smells.
Yeah.
In the spirit, we all one. So, the amount of the spirit we have will determine our genuinity and the sincerity of our oneness. Because in the spirit, we are one. The brother explained to us yesterday that outwardly we are different. So when we switch on our outward eyes, we see differences, right? But when we switch on our spiritual eyes, we are one. But the Lord wants to discipline us. You know, I also realize that discipline is two sides. Discipline is to obey a set command. However, it comes with punishment when you don't do the right thing. That's why in English language, somebody can ask you, what is your discipline? In other words, what costs the winning, right? So there is a set cost for you to graduate, right? Then you are disciplined. But in that process, James, you know very well, if you don't do your assignment, what happens? You get a low grade, right? So discipline comes with punishment. So when the Lord chastises us, it's because he wants to get us to graduate with grace, right? So when we are missing the line, he disciplines us. And you have to have this mind that the Lord's discipline is because he loves you. This is why we have to discipline. He wants us to make it. But guess what? This generation don't like discipline. You know what I'm talking about. They want to be on their own, right? In Proverbs, in chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. I think we're going to remove this from the current day Bible. Right? I don't know if you stay there. In Proverbs 13, 24. Because he doesn't see the age. It's illegal, right? No, it's illegal. In Proverbs 13, 24. And be careful when I remove. He who spares his rod hates his son, will. But he who loves him disciplines him. Oh, wow. You know, God is so wise. He's the only wise one. Now, when you flip to just 14 in verse 12, just the next chapter. In verse 12, we will see what happens when you don't do this discipline. He says, there is a way that seems right to the man, but his end this is applied to every one of us. The way of the flesh is a way of death. Maybe not physical death, but ultimately, to lead the physical death. That's why in a place that we all know very well, in Galatians, he talks about the war of the spirit and the flesh. You know, I read it in another translation, and it says, the desires of the spirit is versus. In other words, it's against the desires of the spirit. Of the flesh, is versus the desires of the spirit. In other words, they can never, they're like parallel lines. They're enemies, right? They can't play one room, right? So anytime you're gratifying the desires of the flesh, just know. I'm telling you a secret. Yeah? It is against the desire of the spirit. In our outline, I just want to follow it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Please, if you find it, you can read. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Romans 8, verse 5 to 8. Romans 8. Please, if you find it, read.
Those who live according to the flesh
that their minds will be
things of the flesh,
but those who live according to the Spirit,
the things of the Spirit.
For to be
carnally minded is death,
but
to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Yeah? Cannot.
Yeah? It is not subject to the law of God,
nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
So how many times in a day are you in the flesh? You know the results, so just keep it to yourself. You tell me mine. But just know that those times you cannot please God, and you cannot do the will of God. And collectively, we cannot do the church. We cannot have God's kingdom. Can you imagine how long we spend living that kind of life? We don't have an expression. We don't have God's kingdom. Our desire to have God's kingdom on earth starts from the individual desire to be Christian. Why? I know. And I have this deep knowledge. This is the knowledge I have gained from spending time with God. Like you see in all the verses. What occupies your time? Trust me, you can't get this knowledge watching a movie or playing a video game. No. Everything we produce according to his own life, right?
Yeah.
When you spend time with God, chances are that you become godly. When you spend time with worldly people, chances are that you become
worldly.
Very good.
You cannot plant an orange tree and pluck apple there. What that way?
Right.
So this is a deliberate thing for each one of us. You have to make this choice, see? We want to be the church. We want to be God's expression on the earth. And don't forget, there's a reward. It's not just for nothing, right? So we need to take this step to be God's expression, the church. What a wonderful thing. The brothers, this is a beautiful picture. Wouldn't you want to have that?
Yes.
God's kingdom on the earth. It has to start from somewhere.
Right.
Our living. Who do we express? I asked the first question, nobody answered. Do you know the old, do you know the new man? When he lives in part of life, because John will show us the new man. Because me, I don't know the new man, that's why I'm ready. We need to live in the newness of life. We need to learn Christ to be filled with his life.
Amen.
So if you spend time in the Spirit, chances are that you will have the fruit of the Spirit. Romans chapter 6, which is 1 to 4. Romans 6, 1 to 4. What shall we say then?
Amen.
Shall we continue with sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin
live any longer in it?
Or
do you not know that as many of us have baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, when you talk about this newness of life, especially for new Christians, when you're baptized, it's always a struggle sometimes, especially struggle with sin. But we used to have some new ones. They feel that, brothers, if you can baptize me, they think that when they are baptized, it's done, right? They won't sin again, right? So somebody who's been having problem with sin, struggling with sin, they come to the brothers, please baptize me, right? Yeah. Bring him into the triangle, right?
Amen.
So that's just the beginning. It still happens. This guy is revealed.
Amen.
And unfortunately, it's going to be revealed to Christ. The Lord comes for you, guys. So sin, what do you do to him? What do you do to this guy? You know, I came across a word that is very interesting. I actually put it in bold, in capital letters. He says, be filled with the Spirit to overcome lust, which gives rise to sin. The root of sin is lust. The power of sin is the flesh. The root of sin is lust.
Right.
You know, it was interesting seeing so many descriptions of lust. You know, my understanding about lust was focused around immorality. No. No. Okay. Let's do something. Let's go to the works of the flesh. Maybe that will help us to understand what lust is. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. From 16 to 18. I'd like the young people to read this.
But I say, and them, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
You do not do the things you wish. You know, the first knowledge we talked about, it works when you are if you are educated or have a good background, you have some good knowledge, right? These days, even AI, the algorithm, right? You may know the scriptures, you may even know the terminology, right? But this head knowledge, you know how it works? It triggers like an algorithm, right? Tells you, I'm in the midst of a sin. Let me do it this way, right? This is the head knowledge. You know how you need to behave when you're with the saints. Right? So it kicks in when you're with the saints, right? But when you're not with the saints, there's no saints here. It kicks in. This is the age of AI, right? So you program your mind that way. But this is hypocrisy.
Right. Yeah.
This is not the knowledge you're talking about. No. We want that knowledge that permeates your being. Whether you're here, whether you're home, whether you're anybody, in fact, people will say, he is a Christian. And I encourage all the young people, if your friend has not desired to go to where you're meant, it simply means your life is not expressing a different thing from what he or she has. Because when there is something in you, this age, there's a lot of hunger for righteousness. Some people are. When your life portrays Christ, somebody will know there's something different from you. I want to have this kind of life. Is it ready? I like when my neighbor can identify there's a difference. You've changed. You no longer get angry. You don't talk so much. You know, I was talking to a young brother, and he said, the most difficult people to gain are the people who are very close to you. Because they are watching your life. Then we can bring you to the Lord. And the Lord affects me. Is it for Jesus said, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Quickly, where I stopped in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, I also want the young people to read verse 19.
Now the works of the flesh are evident.
Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies,
murders,
drunkenness,
revelries,
and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past. Let those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Hold it. Young people, let's do some mathematics. Works of the flesh, how many of them are there? Let's know the smart ones. Yeah? How many of them? We're going to make it, we're going to make an agreement, right? How many of them are there?
17.
More than you can count. More than! As long as it's flesh! He said, I'm such a like!
The like is the
law. It's not the rules that can contain here! As long as you're not in the spirit, trust me.
Yeah.
If you have a new name, put it here. Maybe you will longer get it to. Everything that is not a spirit is a flesh. And those who practice those things cannot. Not even experience the kingdom today, but they will not enter the kingdom of God. I hope and pray that the Lord will give us such desire, that this desire in us will not help us. I know whom I am in these hands, you know. And then, I also want to give you a solution. Spend more time with God. It's automatic. Let me give you an extra. You see, when you're in this environment, you notice people are well behaved, right? Come on, yeah. Even the way we talk to one another, we're so nice, right? Why? Because we're in the presence of the saints and the presence of God, right? Why you behave in a different way? It's because you don't have the consciousness that God is with you always. But that's fine. How would you get that consciousness? It is by spending time with God. Your language will change. Your lights will change. And then God will deal with the losts. The different kinds of loss. Let's deal with it. Different kinds of loss. It talks about the desires. We struggle with the desires of the flesh. These are the things I give lies. You know them, I don't know. He talks about fleeing youthful lust. What is youthful lust? You know, your own, I know my own, right? But the long list of them, you know. He talks about harmful lust. In first Timothy, he said, those that desire to be rich.
Yeah.
So, desiring to be rich is also a lust. And it's a harmful one. Very harmful, brother. But we serve various lusts. You know them yourself. These are the things that affect our expression. This heavenly Jerusalem. He talks about denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Find us. I looked through the New Testament. Even though I found out that lust is the same word for desire, but lust is in a negative way.
Right.
The negative desire. And where does it come from?
Flesh.
Oh, you're negative. I'm done. Even the desire of untamed ambition, that becomes a lust.
Yeah.
That the brother was talking about. You know why there is division? It's a lust for power. Check all human problem. There is a lust behind it. And where is the lust from? I have to run. There are a lot of things here. You can take time and go through. The time is rounding off. To wed Christ is to be his bride, his counterpart, the heavenly Jerusalem. Talks about the church as the light of the world, the city on a hill. You know that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. But more importantly, I like to mention this because saints, the Bible says that they could speak evil of us. Have you seen that in the Bible? Okay, let me read it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 to 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 to 12. It says, beloved, I beg you as journeys and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct among the Gentiles. And when they speak against you as evil to us, they may by your good works which you observe glorify God in the day of visitation. They can speak of us as evil to us, right? That is permitted. But do not be guilty of what they are speaking to you about. That's the other side. They will not speak good of us. But even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he counted, the judge said, this guy is not guilty. May that be our situation.
Yeah.
May our righteous life speak for us. You know, that should be our goal. That even when they speak evil of us, we are not guilty of what they are accusing us of. This is the life of Christ. This is the church, the counterpart of Christ. And in summary, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we have read it before, 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 4 to 7. He says, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this,
but he who judges me with the law.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will work and bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of holiness.
Then each one's praise will come from God.
Now, these things, brethren, I have figured out
as far as myself and Apollos for your sakes,
that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up when you have spoken against the other.
For who is
different from one another?
And what do you have that you should not receive?
Right.
Now if you do not receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it?
You know, this matter comes up as the church to maintain this atmosphere. You know, I also realized in Romans chapter 2, when I was sharing this with my wife, and I said, I've come to realize that in everything you judge another person, you're guilty of that. It was a deep understanding for me. Trust me. In either a small level or a big level or a different format, for everything you judge somebody else, you're guilty of it. It's not my word, actually. The Lord just revealed what he wrote in Romans chapter 2 and verse 9. It became life to me. Maybe I will read Romans 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same. It's a deep revelation to me. So, in Matthew chapter 7, it says, for the building, in verse 1, it says, judge not. I pray that this expression of this wonderful, heavenly, holy, spiritual expression of God can be given for this. Thank you, God. Let us understand this today. It can only be the church. This is one of the things that the Lord will help us. In whatever you judge somebody else. Whatever. I'll give you an assignment. Go and check it. Whatever you judge another person, you'll be a thing. Go see what.